Jamie. Well, Marilyn, why don't you go ahead with this story?
Okay. Well, when the master comes back, the first servant gives him his five tenants and five more. And the second servant gives him three pieces of gold and three more. And the third servant had hidden his piece of gold under a piece of rock. And the master took that piece of gold and gave it to the servant who had doubled his five pieces of gold. In other words, wealth has a purpose, and it is to create more wealth. But you have to be very careful how you define wealth. And so what I created was wealth creation private banking. Passive investors, they manage existing wealth. And they're the people who, instead of building the Microsofts and the Apple computers of the world, they invest in General Electric and all of the traditional companies that are there. So it's the passive investor that supports today's giants of industry, and it is the active investor that supports entrepreneurial growth in America, which is suffering a great deal right now because of overregulation in the banking industry. That's a very long story of how did I get into it, but that's how I got into it, Stan.
All right, fine. Of course, the thing is that we've really had a very, very prosperous country here for many, many years, and some people have accumulated a great deal of wealth, but unfortunately, of course, the banking system seems to have the advantage of being able to create wealth out of nothing. Certainly, we have our commercial banks, we have our investment banks. Our commercial banks can certainly leverage their deposits by the fractional reserve system to a much larger amount of money, but the investment banks almost have no limits on the amount they can leverage their money. Of course, this is really great on an up market, or certainly when you can leverage up to 40 to 1, as Bear Stearns was, and certainly some of the other investment banks, I think, were even leveraging even a higher amount. But when the market turns against you, why you can when you lose that $1 behind the $40 you have invested, why you're in very real problems. So we're going to be back here in just a moment with Marilyn Barnwall as we begin to evaluate what it really is that makes banking tick. And perhaps we can even begin to discuss a little bit about why we are having the problems we are today, because so much of what's going on today is a reflection of the deficiencies of our banking system. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Marilyn simply told the biblical story of what happened as far as servants in the Bible. One servant was given five talents, and one was given three talents, and one was given one talent. And as you recall, the one servant who invested the five talents, the master was well pleased. The one who invested three talents, the master was well pleased. But the one, of course, who had the one talent and hid it under a rock, the master was not pleased. In other words, he took that talent from that servant and considered him a very wicked servant because he had not invested wisely in what he had been given. Well, of course, this carries over into modern-day banking and how not in modern-day banking, certain banks just harbor money, or certain people harbor money, and other people invest it and create real wealth. And then I was beginning to ask about how the banking system contributes to where we are today as far as our finances are concerned, and the difference between the commercial banks and investment banks. And why did you pick up the story, Marilyn? You know the story of banking far better than I do.
Well, yeah, the first thing I would suggest is that we be very careful with definitions. There's a difference between wealth and profit. There is a difference between a commercial bank and an investment bank, which in reality is not a bank at all. It's a brokerage firm. Now, it has become very fashionable for the Federal Reserve and the Secretary of the Treasury to call investment brokerage houses, banks, because they wanted to loan them money. Mr. Paulson was definitely bailing out his buddies, but he was loaning not to banks. He was loaning to brokers. The Federal Reserve, in my opinion, did not have the authority over the investment banking group, and I think relatively it admitted as much, and that's why they went to Congress in the aftermath to gain permission to distribute their wealth and their power over investment banks, savings and loans, federal credit unions, and commercial banks. I think it's very important to remember that, and that when a person invests in a stock, they don't create wealth, they create profit. There's a big difference in that and someone creating something that results in true social wealth, something new that is created that adds to the social order. So starting there, then I would say what we're seeing is isn't it a horrible mess? Have you ever seen anything like this before? I haven't.
Well, of course, I haven't. I think that it's happened probably in the past in history in Venice and Florence and certainly in but never certainly in modern times. And so I want your interpretation of how do we get in the mess we are today? And is there any way out of this mess? Certainly we have this massive amount of money and credit, mostly credit that's been created out of nothing, a pyramid of debt, and this whole house of cards is coming down. And with an orderly banking system, even with a fiat money system, as long as it's carefully managed, you don't get into this trouble. But we have totally a responsibility when they repealed the Glass-Steagall Act and allowed the investment banks to become certainly brokerage houses. Why, suddenly we laid ourselves open for exactly the same things we saw back in the 1930s, except, of course, now, of course, on steroids. So could you explain to our listeners, many of them really don't understand banking. They don't understand the difference between a commercial bank and an investment bank, or as you call them, certainly brokerage houses, and how this whole house of cards was created, the artificial wealth, and now what is actually happening is, as we're seeing the wealth of the people simply dissipated. Go right ahead.
Well, yes, and it goes back to, I think, the first act that was put in place by our ancestor legislators, really, to protect us from ever having another depression. And so most of this legislation was passed in the early 1930s. And the first one was the McFadden Act. Now, McFadden put in place, what the McFadden Act says is there will be no interstate branch banking. The second one then was the Glass-Steagall Act, which said banks will not take commercial banks. Now, this is why it's important to keep the terminology or the definitions of these different organizations in mind as we talk. Commercial banks would have nothing to do with investments. They could not make investments for people or give investment advice. They could, through their trust departments, make investments into things that customers wanted them to. They could not sell insurance products other than credit life on a loan. When they started tearing these things, and the other one that I would say that was really important was Regulation Q. Now, Regulation Q, that went by the wayside under Chairman Paul Volcker, and he oversaw the downfall of the savings and loan industry, which, in my mind, is a well-constructed plan. We lost the savings and loans in 1980, 81, 82, and we're losing our commercial banks, or they're certainly making it look as if we may lose our commercial banks here a few years later. But the savings and loan industry was put in place to make long-term mortgage loans. Mortgage loans lasted in those days 20 to 30 years, and sometimes today you can get them for a longer period. Commercial banks did not make mortgage loans. Savings and loans did. And when they got rid of the savings and loans, suddenly it fell on the banking community. Well, another act that was passed was, oh my goodness, I've forgotten the name. I can't believe I forgot the name. Community Reinvestment Act. I think it was 1977, was passed that required banks, commercial banks, to make loans into what were termed at that time redlined areas. Banks were accused of redlining poverty areas and not loaning into those areas. And it was true, they didn't loan into those areas because they were very high crime. Property values went down, not up, and people who lived in those areas could not afford to repay the loan.
And that was a big thing, of course. So banks, of course, the whole idea of banking is when you make a loan, you want to be able to get the money back. That's prudent banking. And when Congress then begins to mandate that banks lend money to people who are not going to be able to repay it, that's so-called subprime loans, people who are not economically able to repay the loan, then, of course, you're going to have real problems as far as banking is concerned. Because eventually, of course, those people are going to default on their loans, and that's exactly what's going on. And we can thank Congress for that. Go ahead.
Exactly right. And the initially, back in the late 70s and through the 80s, it was a relatively small amount of money, and the banks could withstand the amount of the loan losses they were taking. Then when the savings and loans went away, and then Bill Clinton put the Community Reinvestment Act on steroids, literally, he increased the amounts that the banks had to loan, and there were severe penalties for banks that refused to do this. If you didn't make a certain percentage of your total loan base or deposit base into these formerly redlined areas, the FDIC could refuse you permission to open a new branch. You could be refused insurance on your depositor funds. The Comptroller of the Currency could fine you. The Federal Reserve could fine you. They were severe penalties. So banks, that's where the subprime mess got started, and then it was really put on a fast track in 1999 by Bill Clinton. Then suddenly, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, I began writing articles about the trouble these two companies were in over 4 years ago. Now, if I, a little old white-haired lady sitting out in western Colorado, can sit and understand that Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae are in trouble, don't tell me that all those experts, those economists at the Fed, and those legislators, those brilliant people like Barney Frank, who got his $300,000 from Fannie and Freddie, they didn't see the problem. They did. Alan Greenspan warned of the problem in 2004. George Bush warned of the problem in 2004. John McCain tried to pass legislation to change things. Fannie and Freddie were fined huge amounts of money because they were cooking their books. That happened in 2003-2004. So there was plenty of warning that there was a problem. So what they were doing then was taking these subprime mortgages and sending them to Goldman Sachs, where our current Secretary of the Treasury, Henry Paulson, was very well aware of what was going on, that these were placed into what they termed derivative investments and were sold all around the world.
Well, these were really, what they called them, I thought they called them collateralized debt obligations that were insured
by derivatives. Well, yeah, that's right, CDOs. That's right.
And they basically take $100 million in these faulty loans and say they were a bond and then give them a AAA rating, which they weren't entitled to, and then guarantee them with derivative contracts and sell them to unsuspecting clients all throughout the world. unsuspecting clients, of course, have lost their shirts.
That's exactly right.
Go right ahead.
That is exactly right. And in fact, the first financial
gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
This is what we've been contending for a long time, but who are we? You know, retired orthopedic surgeon with, you know, but I'm not an expert on banks, but so much of what's going on doesn't make sense unless we realize that these very bright people who created this whole house of cards had to know what they were doing and had another agenda. So pick the story up there, Marilyn.
Well, Alan Greenspan gave a speech in 2004 in which he warned that that the loan portfolios at Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, that they were far too big, and that if either one of them should go under, it could literally push the American economy over the edge. Now, that was 4 years ago, and that wasn't just you, Stan, or me, sitting and saying, well, gee whiz, this looks dangerous. This was the head of the Federal Reserve at the time. Nobody paid any attention to him, including Barney Frank and all the people that sat on that committee in Congress and said, oh, there's nothing wrong at Freddie and Fannie. Well, there was a lot wrong with Freddie and with Fannie. But you see, if you have a global economy, suddenly there is a need, if you have a financial crisis like we have right now, for a World Securities and Exchange Commission. And there is a need for a World Treasurer, which will be the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. And that is how you back into a world government.
And we see these things unfolding today. In fact, of course, I don't know, Marilyn, of course, you saw the article by Dick Morris following the meeting of the G20. Now, we're told, of course, by the controlled media that all they did was meet and eat and then go home, retreat back to their homes, and nothing got accomplished. But, of course, according to Dick Morris, a great deal got accomplished behind the scenes when the President of the United States turned over authority for monitoring the economic activities in this country to the international elite, who are going to actually start monitoring now the function and the activities of all of our major economic national and federal organizations, which is a frightening thing. Had you heard that at all, Marilyn?
Yes, I had.
Where did you hear that? Because I keep my ear to the ground. The only place I saw it was this one article by Dick Morris.
Well, I heard it in two or three other places. In fact, unless I'm mistaken, Joan Vian was one of the people who said something about it. She is so good.
She sure is a good friend.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yes.
I know she's been on your show before because I heard her once. But she was one of the people who said something. I can't tell you where I got the other one. Truthfully, it was just one of the things. But I had heard that. The other thing I heard that came out of that was that just before that meeting, the United States sent $840 billion. In the new American currency, whatever that is, the Amero or whatever they're going to call it, to China.
I'd heard that story as well, and it just sounded so fantastic how they could have done that and without anybody knowing anything about it. Do you have any idea what the source of that was? I heard of this last weekend for the first time, and I have to admit I'm skeptical, but nothing would surprise me. They're lying to the American people. They're transferring our wealth to other countries. But why to China? That's the question.
Well, because China's holding, somewhere between $1.3 and $2 trillion that are falling in value. They aren't right now, but they really are. It doesn't look like they're falling in value or devaluing. But the fact is, the only reason the American dollar is strong right now is because the European currencies are so weak. And therefore, it makes the dollar look stronger than it is. But at the time this happened, the European currencies had not started a slow recovery, which they did start just this week, as a matter of fact. So China every day is losing billions of dollars as the American dollar is devalued, and I think began to demand some assurance that the dollars they were holding would be replaced with this more meaningful, if you will, currency that is supposed to come out.
Well, that is really very, very interesting, because that would be about the amount of dollars they hold. They were their $2 trillion in reserves. Not all of that is in dollars. People have to understand that. A significant part of it is, and it may be around that figure. Is that what you're figuring, that this is the figure of this about $800 billion would be the amount of money that American money they'd hold? And hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here. Our guest is Marilyn Barnwell. And I was simply asking Barnwall. I was just asking you, Marilyn, if she felt that that was about the equivalent of the amount of money that the Chinese were actually holding in American dollars, useless paper dollars that have absolutely no value other than the perception that they have value. But I don't know, this may be just a rumor, but I've heard it from a very reliable source who claims that it's absolutely true. Who knows what's going on? So much going on, and it's all in secret, and we're not supposed to know. But would you think that probably that $800 billion, if this indeed is the amount that was transferred, would represent pretty much the value of the contemporary American dollars that they're holding?
My guess would be that it probably represents about half.
About half of it. Okay.
Yeah, my guess is that they're holding about 1.6 billion, trillion in dollars. And now they've got 800 billion in whatever the new currency was. Although I was talking with Joan last week, and she mentioned that she had read a very good article from a good source, Financial Times maybe, that what they're looking at is for a world currency is a basket of currencies made up of the yen, the dollar, the British pound sterling, and one other, I can't remember what it was. Now, that makes more sense to me than the Amero, although the Amero, I think, at one time was a realistic projection. I think things may have gotten out of controllable hands. I think people, these guys doing this, I think, thought this was going to be easier to get done than it has proven to be. And in some ways, I think they've lost control of the ship they thought was going to sail through smooth waters, and it hasn't been.
Well, I think that what you're seeing is the destruction of the world monetary system as we know it, and I'm sure that the other side has their plans on what's going to replace it. The difficulty is when you destroy a monetary system, the life savings, the wealth of the average individual is at stake, and people don't understand what happens when a monetary system is destroyed. You destroy everything that people have worked their whole life to accumulate.
That's true, and one of the things that I heard about whatever the currency is that's coming out is that the government will come to you if you have $100 in the bank, and they will say, here's $10 of the new currency for the $10 of your old currency.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here with Marilyn Barnwell. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Marilyn was just saying that when they change currencies, what the government does is they come to you and say, you have $100 in the bank, we're going to give you $10 of the new currency. People say, well, that sounds crazy. That's in essence what they did in Europe.
That's
when they
right.
shipped to the euro, and of course the people of Western Germany, were just furious because, of course, when they united with Germany and then, of course, with Eastern Europe, and they had to give up their German marks, and they got the new euros, they lost two-thirds of the value of their wealth when that actually occurred. But, of course, the idea was, why should the people of the Western Europe have so much when the people of Eastern Europe are so poor? What we want to do is redistribute the wealth. Sounds sort of like Barack Obama, doesn't it?
It sure does. It sounds a lot like Karl Marx.
It sure does. And, well, a great deal of similarity, but the average individual doesn't know about, of course, the Marxist background of Barack Obama. But, of course, the truth of the matter is he was brought at power by people of great wealth. And the most carefully kept secret in the world today is that people of great wealth have been pushing socialism. And people say, why would people of great wealth push socialism? It's very, very simple. Because they're going to redistribute your wealth. Not their wealth, but
That's
your
right.
wealth. And what they do is socialism is the antithesis of Americanism and individual freedom. Individual freedom limits the power of the central government, and of course, socialism increases the power of the central government. Under a form of limited government, the people with all the great wealth have to work so hard to control the politicians, and then, of course, with limited government, there's very little the politicians can legally do. Under socialism, they can do everything, and that's why people of great want socialism, so that they can buy and sell politicians and reestablish a feudalistic system. Well, Marilyn, before we go on, I do want you to give out your website. I want you to tell people about your new book and how they can get copies of it.
Well, actually, I don't have a website. I'm one of the few people you'll ever talk with who doesn't have a let-me-give-you-my-blog-address message. But the book, before I get to that, there's something else I want to say, because I get it from what you're saying and from what I'm saying. And that is, it seems today that the person who is doing the right thing is being penalized, and the people who are doing the wrong thing are being rewarded. And we need to think carefully about that. And the other thing I wanted to say about probably the most important message that is in Swan's Neck. When the Swan's Neck breaks is a story about why the Federal Reserve needs to be abolished, how it can happen, because if you do it too quickly, you will cause economic chaos and you will end up with martial law. But it can be done. You take that, we'll talk about that in a minute. But the important thing we need to keep in mind is that we're Americans, and united we stand, and we've got to stop letting them do this divide and conquer routine on us, which they do all the time. The rich against the poor, the haves against the have-nots, the Christians against the non-Christians, the Catholics against the Protestants. Whatever it is, they'll find a way to put you in opposition to one another. We have to stand together on this, and I think it's very important. But When the Swan's Neck Breaks is a story. It puts a Russian spy in charge of the Federal Reserve, and it was the only way I could think of to explain logically why the Federal Reserve is behaving the way it is. And so there is a Russian scientist who escapes Russia and comes here, and his whole purpose is to return to office four very powerful men. And that's what the book is about. One of them is the real chairman of, I call it, the Federal Central Bank in When the Swan's Neck Breaks.
When the Swan's Neck Breaks. And how can people get copies of your book?
Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Borders. Available wherever good books are sold.
And, of course, what you're really trying to do is get people to understand the dangers of the Federal Reserve system.
That's right.
A totally un-American system that was installed surreptitiously back in 1913 as a result of a secret meeting of the bankers back in 1910 on a place called Jekyll Island. And, of course, that's the story of Ed Griffin's wonderful book. If you haven't read it, you need to read it, The Creature from Jekyll Island, which explains how the monetary system works, but doesn't tell us how we're going to get out of the mess that we're in today. And, of course, Marilyn's book, Marilyn Barn Wall's book, When the Swan's Neck Breaks. Swan, like that swan on the lake. Well, this is When the Swan's Neck Breaks.
Well, and as you point out, the picture on the cover is Neuschwanstein, right, which translates to New Swan Country.
Right.
The When the Swan's Neck Breaks line comes from here in Colorado, up on the Grand Mesa. Every year, we have a snow swan, a giant snow swan. And I happen to live in a very agricultural area, and the farmers here will not plant until the swan's neck breaks, which means the freezes for the year are over.
All right, fine. And, of course, the thing is that people need to understand that the Federal Reserve is a system by which you have a privately owned central bank. It was created by the bankers, for the bankers, to enrich the bankers. And, of course, supposedly it was to give us a sound currency so that we would not have booms and busts. But, of course, what it's really done is allow a group of very wealthy people to become much more wealthy as they go ahead and progressively destroy the value of the currency. And certainly And what they've done is destroy about 96% of the value of the currency that exists and existed back there in 1913 when the Federal Reserve came in. And people don't understand that right now they are determining the economic destiny not only of the United States but of the world. And they're moving us to destruction. And people say that doesn't make any sense. Why would logical people do that? Why would logical people do that, Marilyn?
How about slavery?
How about slavery, right?
How about, you know, basically, if you look at illegal immigration, the most logical explanation you can find for it today is today's slavery doesn't occur in the cotton fields. It occurs on construction sites and in meat packing plants and so on. That low-cost labor is really the key to this whole thing. That's what they're after, and that's what they've got. That's it.
But, of course, well, down the line, they're going to have to lower the living standards of all of the American people, not just the immigrants.
Oh, Dr. Stan, the only way to gain a world government is to turn America into a third world nation.
Would you repeat that over again? Because I agree with you totally. It is so difficult for people to understand there is a master plan to turn the United States into a third world nation. This is why everybody says things are going to get better next year. Logically, they could if they'd simply get out of the way and let the economy collapse and then reconstitute itself, but they're not going to do that.
That's right. The marketplace can solve its own problems. What absolutely boggles my brain is that Americans can watch as government creates these problems to begin with and then illogically convince themselves that the same people who caused the problem can solve the problem. It makes absolutely no sense at all.
But if you look at things logically, it doesn't make any sense. But if you understand the media is controlled, and the average individual out there, unless they listen to a program such as this, is going to have no grasp of what's going on. They probably most have never heard of the Group of 30. They've never heard of the Trilateral Commission. They've never heard of the CFR. They don't understand that the Federal Reserve is not a branch of the central government. They do not understand there are people in key positions who hate America and who hate freedom, who hate sovereignty, and they believe an elite should rule. And this is what a wonderful opportunity to reinstitute a feudalistic system with them in charge and the American people impoverished. And as I say so often in my program, if you don't believe there's a master plan, read it. It's called the Earth Charter. You get it on the Internet, or we'll send you a copy if you don't have access to the Internet. And the Earth Charter in point 10A talks about equitable distribution of wealth within nations, which is what communism or socialism is about, and equitable distribution of wealth between nations, which is, of course, what's going on today. As we lower our living standards and build up the living standards in communist China and elsewhere throughout the world, and Maryland, when you try to tell this to people, their eyes glass over and they say it couldn't be true.
That's exactly the reason I wrote this book and wrote it the way I did, Dr. Stan, was to say, look, I understand that your eyes glaze over when I say fractional reserve banking and fiat currency. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have this scientist who creates clones, and I'm going to put them into a really interesting plot of international intrigue and so on. And stuffed in here are five chapters that tell you what's happening in the world of finance today. And that was exactly the reason I wrote the book. One of the things that Swansnake makes very clear is I don't think most Americans understand this. Socialism was created as a means to move a capitalist country into a communist country.
But, of course, the thing is that the people who were really doing this, in many instances, were the capitalists themselves. They wanted, of course, to centralize all power in government so they could control it. I mean, they could control part of the wealth in a capitalist country, but there was competition. They don't want competition. They want
control. Well, that's right. And that gets back to my, you know, remember when we first started this and I was talking about active and passive investors? Passive investors are those people who are in charge of the economy right now. They are people who are security motivated. I did 20 years of research on this, and I interviewed 5,000 bank clients, and I can tell you with certainty that there are some people in this world, and most of them are corporate executives. 85% of corporate executives are passive. They may be capitalists when it comes to financing their own company, but they are not. They are definitely on the socialist path when it comes to social issues, and they don't see that you can't separate the two.
You're absolutely right. This is, of course, why so many people of great wealth are backing Barack Obama, who is an avid socialist, Marxist.
And I think one of the interesting things we have to keep in mind is there are people who create wealth, and there are people who manage wealth. A wealth creator is your original capitalist. Henry Ford was a capitalist. He would be turning in his grave if he knew the things that the Ford Foundation was supporting.
Well, Cindy, there is another component to this, which I think most commentators have missed, and that is the spiritual component. There really are powerful spiritual forces out there. And they tie into organizations which most people have never heard of, because you're not supposed to hear of it. But there really are as powerful spiritual forces behind this move towards the New World Order, the New World Economic System, the New World Currency, and the New World Religion, because they want to transform the religion of this country, in fact, the whole world, into their pagan worship system of the ancient deities, which they owe their allegiance, and in many instances, I believe, they owe their great wealth to them. Nobody really addresses that, Marilyn. It sounds like you do listen to our program from time to time.
Well, I don't get it in Colorado, but I don't know where to get it. Maybe you can tell me where.
Well, yes,
your site, I'll be able to go there and listen to broadcasts.
You can go there. You can actually get our program on the internet at radioliberty.com. You can listen to it 9 hours a day. In northern Colorado, are you in northern Colorado?
I'm in western Colorado. I'm about 30 miles from the Utah border.
All right. No, it wouldn't probably be able to get. We do a program there every morning on 1310 on the 1360 on the internet, but it is available. Pardon me, at 1316 on the radio dial. That's an AM station, but it is available on the internet at AmericanNewsNet.com. That's AmericanNewsNet.com, and you can get all this on our website. We do 9 hours of talk radio that's not 4 hours live, in addition to that early morning program, which is on our website. We're available on shortwave, we're available on satellite, and we do have an opportunity to get people to listen. We just got to convince them they've got to start listening and learning from people like you and other guests that we have here, and realize that most of what they get from the regular media is not right. And even many of the commentators who are talking about what is happening, from a financial point of view, miss the spiritual forces which energize the people who are moving us away from freedom towards this new feudalistic system.
Well, and don't you think one of the big symptoms of that, one of my probably my inner strength, my spiritual strength, comes from one line that Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And whenever you get people away from the truth, you end up with negative spiritual energy. God is all things positive. Only Satan manages negative energy.
But unfortunately, most people and most of our many of our ministers don't really believe in Satan today, and they should.
I know it.
And
oh, I get so mad.
And of course, the other thing is, of course, most people have no fear of God. We've changed the very makeup of God. And I'll tell you what, there at the time of the First and the Second Great Awakening, it was the message of Jonathan Edwards and John Wesley back in the 1730s and 1740s, the words of the sermons of Charles Finney in the early 1800s, that reinstilled that sense of fear of God in the hearts of people and brought them back into a personal relationship with our Lord, and was responsible really for the American, certainly the American Revolution, the establishment of this country, and certainly was a preamble to the Civil War. I'm not saying that's a good thing, but certainly I think it was the one thing allowed our country to survive this terrible, terrible tragedy of the Civil War. But there were strong religious feelings in both the North and the South, but I think so much of that religion has been replaced with a new feel-good religion where God loves everybody and there's no punishment, there's no sin.
And all I have to do is say I'm sorry and I believe in Jesus and I go to heaven.
Right. It's an automatic thing, and that has very little to do with the Holy Scriptures as written. Well, our guest this evening has been Marilyn Barnwall. And her book, once again, When the Swan's Neck Breaks. When the Swan's Neck Breaks, and you can certainly get that going to Amazon.com. And, of course, that's where we get a lot of our books, you know, is Amazon.com. You can always get them used there. This book's a brand new off the press. You're probably going to have to get a new copy. It's a fascinating read. We'll be back in just a minute to wrap up tonight's program here at Radio Liberty. Well, Marilyn,
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
talking to her. She's a friend of Joan Vian's, but she has with a background in banking. She understands banking, and she understands that so much of what's going on today is, in my estimation, is engineered, and this whole crisis is engineered, and it's created for a purpose. And this is not to mean that there's not going to be terrible suffering and an awful lot of people are going to lose their jobs and their homes and their automobiles and eventually they're going to destroy the value of our currency. It means it's being done for a specific purpose. And of course, we talk about that, the New World Order, the New World Religion, the New World Banking System, the New World, of course, of currency. They're all coming down the line, just like a freight train coming down the tracks, headed right at us. Understand what's going on. If you haven't heard my talk on the financial tsunami, let me recommend it. It comes with a syllabus. It's a talk we gave a couple of years ago, but it's very apropos what's going on today. It's called the financial tsunami. That's the financial tsunami. You need to get our little pamphlet on the financial meltdown. You need to get our pamphlet on the history of money, what you should know. They're economical, but tremendous amount of information there that will give you insight to what's going on. You will certainly want to see our latest newsletter. It's if you want to order a copy, we'll be glad to send you one free of charge. Of course, we do very much hope that you will be willing to subscribe to the Radio Liberty letter, or better still, join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's our major means of continuing to do what we're doing. And so our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And then we do hope, of course, that you'll want to get the books. The Creature from Jekyll Island by Ed Griffin. And we have a hard time keeping those in stock. We got in 5 cases, and really within about a week, they were all gone. And we've got our others. One should be arriving any day now. The book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy by Professor Sutton, who we had an opportunity to get to know before he passed away. Then the book Fiat Money, Inflation in France. All of these things are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. But to understand the spiritual component, you, of course, need to get our book on the Brotherhood of Darkness, my talk on the forbidden secret, because there is a forbidden secret. It's been passed down for 5,000 years. Oprah, of course, talks about the secret there on her program. She's featured Rhonda Burns on 2 occasions, and you can read Rhonda's book. It's preposterously expensive. It's a little tiny book, sells for $15, but it's called The Secret. Sold, yeah, I think 7 million copies last time I checked, and then the video by the DVD by the same title. And they tell you about the secret. They tell you about the same secret I talk about, except I tell you the truth about the secret, and of course what it will really mean as far as eternity is concerned. So understand that there really is a secret. There is power you can tap into. Many of the people who head our financial institutions, who have amassed phenomenal amounts of money, have tapped into that secret force. And there is a secret force out there, but we caution you to avoid it like the plague, because it will do to you exactly what the plague does. So the forbidden secret, and of course the sequel to that, of course, is called the Secret Knowledge. There's a syllabus that comes with the forbidden secret. Our talk on the planned police state, and of course this will take you into their writings. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, they do publish material, and you need to read them. They're all available through Radio Liberty. Our number again, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our website, radioliberty.com. Please pray for Radio Liberty.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.